Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Transpyrenees Race number 3, supported by our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. October 5th, and with the top 10 riders now back in Saint-Jean-de-Luz, today is the day that those in the mid-pack really push themselves in an attempt to conquer the cols of the raid parkour. If they can traverse the famous Tourmalet, Aspin, and Aubisque, and make it to the final, brutal climb up and over Col de Bagagui, they'll have the finish line in sight. Andrew Phillips, race reporter, is out on the parkour, catching up with riders as they look to take on this final stretch.
So we're stood on top of the Col de Tourmalet. The sun's come up now. We've been up here since dawn. Sun's come up and it's really started to warm up. It's a bit of a hive of activity, actually. We got tourists up the top who've driven up. We've got cyclists who are doing a local sportive or something who've ridden up. We've got a woman with a little handbag dog posing by the cyclist statue. No sign of any llamas yet. There's a helicopter circling around the top repairing ski runs, and we've got a French parachute regiment driving over the hill as well.
At 2,150 metres, the Tourmalet is one of the highest passes in the Pyrenees and regularly used in the Tour de France. For Wim Verheyen, Cap 98, this is the first time on this famous climb, although by now they're all starting to blend into one.
It was a hard climb, but we made it.
Almost.
Yeah.
Have you been up Tourmalet before?
No, first time. It's nice to see it when the sun is rising and not during the night.
Was that your plan?
No, I don't have plans anymore. I just go with how things go, and that's basically it.
Where did you sleep last night?
Aro, at the campsite until 2:30, and then Aspin, Tourmalet, and then a few more, and it's finished. Eh? I think
you're basically there.
Yeah, now it's all almost more downhill than uphill.
Downhill to the coast.
Yeah. That's what I keep in mind, yeah.
Do you know what the next peak along is?
Yeah, what's the name? Aubisque?
Salor first, I
no?
think, isn't it?
What?
Salor first, I think.
Oh, another one, okay, yeah. Whatever.
Just one more off the list?
Yeah. I know it's four to go. That's all I know.
Back in Saint-Jean-de-Luz, Tom Fitton, Cap 53, is reflecting on a fantastic 15th position finish in the race.
I said to myself before we did it though, because it is a race, and I could come here and just do a leisurely bike ride, but I could just come to the Pyrenees and do that anyway, so I'm going to treat it as a race. I said to myself, I'd love to get top 20, that'd be amazing, so I've achieved what I was aiming for. And to do that, if you're sitting down having nice meals and this and that, it's just, you can't do it, can you? Yeah, I'd like to come back again and do it better, really.
Yeah.
And also try and enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah.
By doing it a way that I think could maybe be more effective, but also more comfortable as well.
Mm-hmm.
So better food, more comfortable night's sleep, carry less gear, because it's one for the climbers really, isn't it?
Jamie Loudon led for much of last year's race before deciding to scratch on the raid parkour. He's ridden brilliantly again at TPR3 to claim 8th position.
It's nice to... So I think I was maybe a little bit sick at the beginning and just like, yeah, I don't know what happened. Like the start, day one was fine, and then day two and three were just like super steady.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that then meant like the last 2 days I could go full gas,
mm-hmm.
which is a really nice way to finish.
Yeah.
It's by feeling like I've got everything out,
yeah.
because I had plenty left. Yeah, I think it's just like it's just nice to finish on a high and like
yeah.
feel super strong for like the last two and a half days. I'd say I think pretty much since cross back over from Spain into France.
A lot of self-control after last year.
Yeah, a lot more self-control.
A lot of lessons learnt, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, like, applied them all and...
Yeah, I listened to what went wrong.
Yeah.
And then I did things about it.
Wow.
That's not like me.
You tend to repeat the same...
Make the same mistakes over and over.
Why is this not working?
Yeah. Well, it's the thing from the office. Sometimes there's no lesson. You just fail.
But everything's a lesson. Sometimes you just fail.
Yeah.
Not this time.
Not this time.
Out on the Tourmalet, Simon Goddard seems to be unfazed by the challenge. He even shares some insight into his daily skincare routine.
I'm fantastic, actually. It's amazing. Really enjoying it. It's fantastic. It's transcendental. It's absolutely fantastic. Loving it. Feeling every pedal stroke and every bit of effort and energy in late night from the last week or so, sort of culminating in this climb in the sunshine, midday, middle of the Pyrenees. Absolutely amazing.
Now, someone gave me a tip about your skincare routine, Simon, whilst on the race. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, obviously, huge social media presence in the race, and I was risking being part of it, and so, I had to get some sun cream with some foundation in it. No, I grabbed a small thing of sunscreen out of the drawer when I left, last minute thought, with Greek writing on it. And that Greek writing said foundation, I think. So, I've been wearing sun cream with foundation in it for the last week. So I hope it's made me look even better in the social media posts.
I can't see a single blemish.
Alison Felly-Jacquemont, Cap 136, is another first-timer on the Tourmalet.
It was a slow start. My legs were not cooperating, but they're feeling good now. Feeling good now. I just get knee pain, you know, under my patellas.
Yeah.
But then once the fluid starts moving, it goes away. So, and it's been worse in other races, so I'm happy about the bike fit. So, I'm in low gear. What do I have now? Another 11, 12 kilometers? It's not too bad.
Do you know what col you're climbing at the moment?
Tourmalet. I'm going to call my friend and tell him. He's going to be so jealous. Yeah. No, it's cool. I'm happy. I'm super happy. I'm going to make it to the finish.
Have you been up Tourmalet before?
No. Never really been in the Pyrenees like this before. That was one of the reasons we wanted to come. See it all in one big shot.
Mike Smith, Cap 52.
I thought I found Nirvana last night, a heated toilet. So I got myself all set, new clobber on, ready for the onslaught of today.
Yeah.
Lay down. And my knee just started going wow, 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 and it kept me awake. Could not sleep. So after an hour of tossing and turning, I just thought, you know, just get up. It's better pedaling forward, isn't it, than moping and feeling sorry for yourself. That parkour, that final stretch is something else. I was not expecting it to be so slow.
Ultra-distance riders spend long, long hours on the bike, so it's crucial to relax and enjoy any time out of the saddle. James Page, Cap 91, describes a picturesque scene gone wrong.
So I got to the top and I thought, the Aspen, and I just thought, do you know what, because I was planning to eat down here, and I thought, do you know what, it's so nice up there, I'm going to eat there, it will digest on the way down. So I sat by the sign with a goat's cheese baguette, a tomato, some plums in it. It was the nicest thing I've eaten all week. And I just said to Rob, he was sitting up next to the other sign, I said, this is like the most beautiful place to have lunch. And this is so delicious. You need to get yourself some goat's cheese and some plum. And then this cow sort of appeared, and then about 100 cows appeared behind. And I'm still just sitting there eating this thing. And then the next thing, they've opened my bag. All my stuff is like being taken out and is in the cow's mouths. And then they've got the goat's cheese thing out of my hand. My crisps, because I've then jumped up, my crisps have gone everywhere. It was just nuts. And then I'm literally grabbing stuff out of the cow's mouths, arm warmers and stuff, trying to shove it back in my bag. And they, the horns pushing my bike, pushing me. It was crazy. I couldn't get out of there quick enough. Luckily, I think some German lady or something helped me by just grabbing hold of my bike while I was scattering on the floor trying to pick up stuff out of my bag. It was nuts.
Spencer Long, Cap 114, has also spent some time with the cows of the Pyrenees.
I don't know. I've done the Italian Alps a lot.
and the French Alps, but I've never been to the Pyrenees, and Tourmalet's the daddy, isn't it? Mind you, I just did the Aspin, and that's absolute dream. Really is dream. I just didn't want to come down. I've been talking to cows about 10 minutes though, so is that normal? I'm not sure, but yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I really like this area. I like the higher mountains as well. Yesterday was quite tough. Col du Mente was, I thought it'd be quite nice, but it was kicked my teeth in. So yeah, it was a bit of a hard one, that, I don't know. And the ones before it, you know, the lots of up and down, and yeah, it's like being in Yorkshire, but higher.
Clément and Tristan Jammaert, Cat 140 A and B, are the last remaining pair in the race. All they need to do is get to Saint-Jean-de-Luz before the race ends at 11:59 p.m. tomorrow night.
How are you looking forward to going up Tourmalet? Have you been up before?
Me, no, and my brother, yeah, but only with his shoes for the down. So probably the down is going to be really, really nice. I'm excited. Yeah, no, I never did. And after, I think it's Sulo and Marie Blanc, or one more people, probably. And I did it, and it was really, really great. So yeah, excited.
You've got Obisque in there as well, haven't you?
What?
Sulo Obisque.
Sulo Obisque, yeah. I've been there probably 1 year ago, something like that, for the preparation or the warm-up for Tristan for the last year. We did it together and was really, really good. And back home, but on the valley, not on the road. So it's going to be harder now. But nice. Yeah, I'm excited, really.
One thing that keeps the riders going in these last days is the thought of making it to the finishers' party on the final evening of the race. Ben Schwillon, Cap 18, was one of the last to finish before the general classification cut off at last year's TPR.
I remember you walking into the finishers' party to an enormous cheer.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a really good moment. I really enjoyed that.
Aiming to do the same thing this year?
No, I'd like to finish earlier than that. I'd like to be able to go to the hotel, to my hotel, and have a shower and stuff. My girlfriend's in France now. She's in Saint-Jean-de-Luz, so she's booked into the hotel. And it'd be nice to have a bit of time tomorrow. So I think early finish, early start tomorrow morning. That's the plan.
For Tobias Johansson, Cap 90, this year's TPR is more than just a race. It's the completing of a circle, a story of courage, recovery, and determination.
You had a collision with a vehicle a few years ago, that, right?
Yeah, 4 years ago. So yeah, it's because of that. I lost a lot of teeth and a lot of bone in my jaws, and I'm still on the journey of getting all that in place again.
And that really makes your ride, your race, even more remarkable. Really puts in some context.
Yeah.
What's it been like, sort of having that recovery process and then culminating in the race?
Well, actually, when I had the accident in August 4 years ago, and when I was recovering from it at the hospital. Then I did a lot of time online and so, and then I came across this race, actually. So, and then I thought to myself that this is a really, really beautiful race. I'm going to do this 1 year. So, and this year it was time.
Amazing. So you actually found TPR number one, it would have been back then, when you were in hospital.
Yeah.
Wow. And now here you are doing it.
Yeah, so it feels really great to be able to do it and finish it.
So. That's amazing.
Riders continue to arrive at Saint-Jean-de-Luz, including Victor Eklund, Cap 16.
So what I really loved is that the CPs were strategically placed in order for it to have gravel or like even off-road options. That was not just rough to be rough. It was not just crossing a minefield just for the sake of it, then you gain 2 hours by taking all the risk. It was taking risk, of course, and not knowing. But then again, it was rewarding first by time, of course, if you went efficiently, and secondly via the landscapes and the views. And that's, I think, really difficult to plan and to, as an organizer, to to make it so that people would have these different choices and will take different choices, different routes. This was for me really special. That it was difficult, but then when you go on top of Bielsa Pass at 6:30 a.m. and you see a sunrise and you're there with your road bike, which has nothing to do there, nothing to do. I'm looking at it. Why is it even here? And then you're in the landscape. Okay, this is unique and this is something only accessible if you're in this kind of race mode and within this concept.
At 6:50 p.m. on day 7, Millie Gibbons rides through the streets of Saint-Jean-de-Luz and becomes the first woman to finish the Trans-Pyrenees race number 3. She's ridden an incredibly measured race.
Andrew said last night, he was like, you're being coy about your plans. And I was like, I actually just didn't have any plans. Like, I really didn't have any plans. I was like, the only plan I had was to go up to the Tourmalet and then make a plan. And then I got up there, descended, and then, yeah, decided to nap. And then I was going to sleep for 4 hours, and then I woke up 2 hours later, and then I thought, and I was like ready, I was like really ready to go. So I was like, oh, I'll just get my bike now then.
Yeah. Favourite moment?
Being at the top of the Tourmalet last night. The stars were so bright. I was thinking, this is a really iconic climb. And, you know, usually you would pick to do that on a holiday trip when the weather's nice and there's loads of other people there. And I was like, it's a real cool moment that there's absolutely nobody else up here. And yeah, the stars are really bright.
Yeah, just you and the moon.
Yeah, just me and the moon.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Nice.
In our final episode of this year's podcast at the Trans-Pyrenees Race, we'll hear from those riders fighting hard to reach Saint-Jean-de-Luz in time to enjoy the finishers' party. Who will make it before midnight and the cut-off point for general classification? And can the Jeanmort twins pedal tired legs all the way to the finish in the pairs race? You can find daily content on our social media and get daily updates from the road. Thanks to our race sponsors, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.